It is the second Sunday of the new year, and I thought it would be good for us today to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, a text which will be a basis for a good start for the new year. That is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And now let's bow for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of the message of this song, Saved by Grace. As we now turn to this passage of Scripture which teaches that truth, we pray that you will energize this message with power so that we will be taught by the Holy Spirit the truth of this text. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now would you follow as I read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, God has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, of God is the gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should live in them. Now today we're going to concentrate on verses 8 and 9. The clear passage about salvation. And let me repeat the beginning of verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. And we need to stop there and really think about that statement. You have been saved. That happened to me in 1948. That's about 52 years ago. God moved into my life. Holy Spirit took me from death to life, regenerated me, gave me the gift of faith, and I responded. I have been saved. Think about that. You have been saved, rescued, delivered, set free. From what? From wrath. We were by nature children of wrath. We're no longer under wrath. We have been rescued, saved from condemnation, from eternal punishment, from hell. You have been saved. I hope I never get over the impact of just thinking about that. I have been saved. Christian, you have been saved. Glory in that. What a start for the new year. What a reviving, refreshing, rejuvenating truth. We have been saved. It is over. It's finished. It's been done. Now, this is stated also in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, God has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Glory in that. Read it over and over. Meditate upon it. Thank God for it. What a reason to be thankful. What a motive for appreciation. You have been saved. Now the second thing here is not just the fact, but the means. Verse 8, for by grace, that's the means. It is by grace, that is the grace of God. God exerting grace. There's nothing human here. There is no human merit. There is no deserving by a human being that God should be gracious. God extends His grace. That's the means. You have been saved by grace. Nothing from you, nothing from me, nothing from any human being. There's the fact. You've been saved. How did it happen? By grace. Now, a third point here is the channel. You have been saved by grace, the channel through faith. Faith, not works. Faith, not being religious. Not going through the motions, but by faith, by believing, by trusting in what Christ has done for us. You have been saved by grace through faith. What we have here is the salvation package. Salvation, grace, and faith is a package. Wrap it up. It's one thing. What does it mean? It means it's not of self. You have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of self. It is the gift of God, created by God, given by God, out of free grace. That is a marvelous thing to know and think about at the beginning of this new year. Now, for this to really impact our hearts and lives, we have to go to the context. That's why I read verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3 reveal the true condition of every human being as born here into Adam's race. And what is the definition that we find? We find, first of all, we were dead in trespasses and sins. That is spiritual death. That is the condition of every human being. Well, how did we get that way? We got that way through the fall of Adam. When Adam sinned, we all sinned in him. He is the representative human. And you say, well, how can I be blamed? It was Adam who sinned, not me. Well, if you had been there, you would have sinned. You would have done what Adam did. Every couple are typical of Adam and Eve. Bill and Faye are Adam and Eve. Now that's a revelation, and I thought it was necessary to make that clear this morning. How did we get here? Sin. What does it do to us? It brings spiritual death. And what is the requirement for dead people? Dead people must be made alive. Dead people don't do anything. Dead people can't contribute anything. Dead people cannot make any decision. We must be made alive, resurrected, given spiritual life, and given faith. Our spiritual life did not come from self. It came from God as a result of resurrection. Our faith did not come from us. It was given by God. Our response to believe and trust in Him came after we were made alive. Now this raises a point we need to discuss here about a controversy that has been going on since at least the 3rd century, and then made more prominent after the Protestant Reformation. One of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation was John Calvin, who was in France and Switzerland. And John Calvin began teaching salvation from the viewpoint of God's sovereignty. That it is God who saves, and that salvation is of the Lord. So he began to teach election and predestination and sovereign grace. And those who believe that and follow those beliefs have often been called Calvinists. Now, later on, there came a man named Joseph Arminius who began refuting the truth that Calvin was teaching, and looking at salvation from a human viewpoint, emphasizing that faith comes from the human and that the decision is made from the human and that the human has a capacity for faith. Now the first problem, and those who follow him and his teaching are called Arminianists. So there is a difference of belief, and we need to know and understand that. The godly view and more of the human view. Calvinism and Arminianism, prevalent today. Although at one time the Calvinists were the majority. Since 1900, the Calvinists have become a minority. And most of what is taught in churches today is the Arminian viewpoint. So the debate and argument can be based around Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. In verse 8, we have the use of prepositions, this and it. Verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, depending on these pronouns and what they modify makes a great difference in how you believe this truth. What does this modify and what does it modify? Well, after looking at this many times through many years, I have come to the conclusion that the way to settle this is to leave out the pronoun and read it this way. Follow in your Bible. By grace you have been saved through faith, and by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It leaves out that, and it leaves out it. Now, what about the pronoun it? What does it modify? Read it without it. By grace you have been saved through faith, of God is the gift. Now then, some scholars attempt to solve this by the gender of the words, whether they are male, female, or neuter. And there is still disagreement about this. There's no agreement about that. I think there can be a closer agreement of the proper interpretation of this text by leaving out these pronouns. Let me do it again. By grace you have been saved through faith, and by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. The it pronoun, leave it out. By grace you have been saved through faith, the gift is of God. But I don't think that the final solution rests with the grammatical construction. I think the final solution rests with the context. The question is, where does faith come from? Is salvation of God and grace of God, but faith of man? Well, this text does not allow that. Faith is not of yourselves. Faith is the gift of God. And to repeat the context, every human being is in spiritual death. And faith must come from God. Now, today there are not many people who believe that humans are spiritually dead. So we get into the question of the fall of Adam, that is, the sin of Adam. How far did he fall? He fell all the way, not halfway. So the argument from the Arminian would be, no, man still retains within himself some amount of goodness, so that he can, under the proper conditions, make that decision to come to faith in Christ, and that is of self. This text does not allow that to be the truth. Here is a package. Salvation, grace, faith, all a gift of God, not part of it. And our response, of course, is real. This morning we can honestly say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm responding in truth. When? After we have been made alive, and after we have been given faith. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. And the theological question comes, which comes first, faith or regeneration? Do you have faith to be saved, or do you have faith because you've been saved? Well, of course, the truth is you have faith because you have been saved. Now, is there an issue about this? And is it important? And I have to ask, does it really matter whether I proclaim this message or not? What is the issue? The issue is, who gets the glory for the salvation of man? Who gets the full glory for salvation? Do you and I? Who gets credit? Now, if we look more carefully at this passage at verse 9, we'll see the purpose for this. Why did God arrange a salvation by grace through faith, not of works? Verse 9, lest anyone should boast. There it is. If I believe that by my intellect, by my smartness, I made that decision, but someone else didn't. Or if I believe that I was better morally and godly than my neighbors who don't believe, that's room for boasting. Those who believe salvation is by their decision and wisdom and goodness leave room for boasting. And in some way, there is a contradiction to this passage of Scripture. Now, what does this do for us personally? First of all, it brings such a powerful appreciation that this is how we live. We live being grateful, with gratitude to God, to the praise and glory of God. I'm saved, but I don't deserve it. It then leads to humility. Who can be saved by grace through faith? Not of self, and not become a humble person. I would encourage all of us who are confronted with this passage do not deny the grace of God. Do not rob God of full glory. And you may be listening to this message and you say, well, I don't have the faith. I don't have the salvation. What can I say? Ask God for it. It's going to come from Him. It's not going to come from you. And the very fact that you are interested and you would ask God for faith reveals that the grace of God is already working in your life, bringing about that desire and interest. He that comes to me, I'll never turn away. If you come to God this morning, or whenever you listen to this tape, and you come to Him and ask for faith, you will have it. He will not turn you away. Begin the year. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any of us should boast. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the direct message proclaimed in this passage of Scripture, for the reality of our salvation, the fact that we have been saved by You is overwhelming. Burn that into our heart and life this day, through this year, and forever. We pray in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen.